I don't know why you never told me you had Kirby Triple Deluxe erasers.
I thought you got some.
Where would I have gotten some?
You were at the same event as me at Best Buy to play Smash Bros. You're on the table.
I was not at that event. What event are you talking about?
Oh, that's right. You were at E3.
Was that Comic-Con, I think?
No, this is in June.
Oh, yeah. I was at E3. How dare you get swag while I'm at E3? You know, what are you going to erase with these?
Nothing.
When was the last time you held a pencil? Yeah.
It's been a while.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for October 30th, 2014, almost Halloween. Ooh. I hope our podcast isn't haunted.
Ghost podcast!
I don't know. I find the idea of ghosts so funny. I just like the idea. It's just like the way they look.
Like, you mean like the Halloween ghost that's a sheet, basically?
Yeah, but almost in general. They're just so inherently dumb. Because, like, it's not a part of any actual belief system, right? Ghosts? Like,
no.
Like, right? Like, none of, like, the big three or four or whatever say, and sometimes the spirit stays behind Earth to scare people and shit.
It's a translucent apparition.
Yeah, like, what's that? And it's, it's gonna get you. It's like it's funny because either it's like just like so stupid I can laugh at it, or like if you actually believe it, wow, then it's like a whole level. But I don't know, yeah, ghosts are funny. So welcome to the show. We got plenty to talk about. Destiny's first expansion got detailed. So we'll talk about that, some other things, some games we've been playing. I dug into Bayonetta 2. So we'll talk about that. It is in the Evolve beta.
Alpha. Big Alpha.
Ooh. God, those words are meaningless now. Big really Alpha. Are. So it's a really early demo.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are we talking about Gamergate or at all? Nah. A little.
I think unless you have something new and you want to talk about Sarkeesian on Colbert.
Well, kind of, but more so than that, there's something else that was interesting.
Is this the YouTube thing?
Yeah.
Go ahead, talk about that.
We can start with that, yeah, but then we'll, I don't know if we've even got releases up there. I don't think it.
I can get them.
Yeah, but, so, I don't know, I guess I'll leave, but, like, you know, I know the Sarkeesian thing got a lot of attention yesterday, but, Total Biscuit, like, kind of Chris has a little bit before, and, you know, he's kind of frustrating. He's a very articulate and intelligent person, you can tell, and he's kind of sides with Gamergate sometimes because he has always really been into the whole video game journalism ethics thing a long time ago. So he's jumped on it for that aspect of it, which I still think is not good because I still think because he's kind of turned into a figurehead for these people, and I feel like people are kind of using him to kind of further this sort of anti-female agenda, or not, you know, subconscious agenda even for some of these people who I think are just kids. But he had Stephen Totilo of Kotaku on, and they did like an hour and 40 minutes where they were just kind of talking. And it was, you know, it was super professional. Total Biscuit just basically asked Stephen Totilo about like everything that they've been accused of, and he just kind of answered in a measured fashion. And I just wish that's something that everybody would watch. And it's kind of like, well, see, like, what are you so mad about? You know, like, I've seen, like, I don't know, I'm like on Kotaku in action, which is like the Gamergate, like, main Reddit too much.
Yeah.
It's just. It's fascinating.
It's like a train wreck.
It is, but like,
I tried to go on there once.
Right, but you know, like their hero, Total Biscuit, like does this like actual. This is what they claim, right? We want to talk about video game journalism, and this is actually them talking about video game journalism ethics. And they're just like, "Fuck him, he's just lying." Or like, you know, it's like,
who do they want to fuck?
Totilo. Yeah. So it's like I don't even know what they want anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they know.
No.
I saw some posts. I was on Twitter. Jeff Grubb retweeted some guy before the whole Colbert Report thing got started. And I was like, who's this guy anyway? And I was looking at his account, and he had this tweet. He's like, this perfectly explains everything Gamergate is about.
Oh, I'm
like,
those things.
I'm like, oh, fantastic. Finally, like, something. This was, it was something about a Destructoid guy who got fired.
Yeah, that Alistar thing is pinoff. That is, I can't follow it anyways.
I got a quarter of the way through this massive article. I mean, I read it for 10 minutes. I was like, how long is this? And I was a quarter of the way through.
I read that whole thing, AJ, and I still don't quite understand. It's like, it's like, they're claiming collusion because what happened was a Destructoid writer did some investigative journalism about some some transgender game developer or something. There's something about calling her out on a lie. But apparently this person is very self-destructive and had threatened to kill herself. So they're like, okay, you can't publish this story or talk about it yet. Then the guy did. So then Nero, or I think his name's Nero, yeah, the guy who like owns the structure, he went to that Game Journal Pro's mailing list. That's another part of the conspiracy, and asked everybody what he thinks that they should do. So then from there it turns to, like, you know, everyone's like saying fire him. Then, you know, he does fire him, but like now people are like, oh, it's collusion or whatever. And I'm no legal expert. I feel like if it was collusion, it might have actually gone to a court. I don't know.
But also at the same time, like, if your boss tells you not to do something, well, sure, and you do it, don't you get fired?
I guess, but like that whole thing, I can't even quite follow it. But, you know, again, that is one of their three big reasons why all of video game journalism is horrible.
And it's getting so obnoxious.
It is, but I mean, you know.
What do you think of the Colbert
thing? I thought it was good. It was fine. So, like, Enos Sarkeesian was on Colbert, so Colbert just kind of, you know, made fun of the situation, as he does. And he talked to Sarkeesian. It wasn't like an actual. It's funny because some people are like, oh man, how is Sarkeesian going to do? Or like, oh, who's going to get the most, like, talking time? It's not an actual interview.
Yeah, he's a
character. It's still a comedy bit, right? I know, like, everyone's like, oh, because at one point Colbert's like, oh, I'll name three games that are sexist as a joke. Sarkeesian's like, well, no, I'm not going to name three games. Everyone's like, oh, she can't even name three sexist games. I'm like, no.
No, she's not going to, because she doesn't want to make it a conversation about a game. She wants it to be about
it. Wouldn't have been hard. You could just say Grand Theft Auto 3, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas,
yeah.
Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Let me list some GTA games for you.
Right, but no, it was fine. But The one problem with it, though, is that it's got the Gamergaters super defensive again, and they're blowing up their hashtag. And, you know, and I said before, if you really don't think that there is some kind of a problem, just look at the comments on YouTube on any sort of video about this. It's just terrifying. Like, there was, like, someone made a comment, like, fuck this stupid bitch in the cunt, I hope she gets raped. And I excuse my language, but this is what people are saying, and it got 59 thumbs up.
Yeah.
So not only did somebody say this, but a lot of people are like, you know what? That's a good point.
Yeah, and I'm going to now publicly show my support for your point just, by clicking this little
icon.
And
I really do hope that most of it is just children. They're just stupid. But even if they aren't children, they're acting like children in just so many ways. Their lack of empathy, the lack of understanding that their actions are going to have consequences. I the whole thing is just weird. You know, I guess I always... Chris Cluey, the former NFL punter...
Mm-hmm.
Kicker. He said, like, a month ago, like, the only thing that's going to kill us is if Colbert or Stewart take this thing national, and then these people get embarrassed on TV. But really, they're just no matter what happens, they're just so defensive, and it's I just can't believe that they believe in what they're doing so much that no matter how many of their heroes or mainstream outlets come out against them, they're still so blinded by anger or hate or whatever it is that they just can't give it up. I still don't understand, like, I understand the things that they say that they're mad about. And they, even if some of these things were true, even, let's say, at the end of day, like, this was not even what happened, that some indie game developer slept with a video game writer and got a good review. That'd be bad.
Yeah.
Would that be worth, like, what these people are, like, the amount of times people are dedicating to this, as if it was the most important thing in the world? And again, that would be terrible, and that, you know, that'd be awful, but, like...
Hasn't happened yet.
But, like, just, like, it's just, the amount of outrage is not nearly equal to the crime, and the problem is there isn't even really much of a crime. And again, you know, people now make up watchdog groups, and they're like, oh, now we're gonna scour through every article and look at this one factual error. This person kind of knew this person, and there wasn't a disclosure. It's like, okay, yeah, fine. But it's, again, it's like, none of this is worth you... You know, ruining people's lives and setting back our whole industry 10 years.
Yeah,
that's really my big issue is that there's a lot of young people, especially women right now, who like games or looking at the industry and are seeing this stuff and maybe thinking it's not an inclusive or safe place to be in.
Yeah,
those are effects you're going to feel 10 years from now. When, you know, 10 years from now, because of this, I think we're going to be in the same issue where
women in game.
A lot of the game developers and journalists are still going to be, you know, white men like me. But so thank you. But but no, it's bad.
That's terrible. No.
No, no. Right. You should have never have hired me.
Yeah, that's what he meant. All right.
As my beer overflows.
Well, now you're all riled up. You want to talk about Destiny 2?
Oh, now let me tell you about Now I was making fun of people for getting mad about insignificant things. Destiny, man! So Destiny detailed the dark below.
These names.
The dark below, as opposed to the
so
light above.
So this comes out, what, December 6th?
So thereabouts.
$20?
Mm-hmm. Required the $35.
Okay, I got the digital deluxe, so I'm getting this.
So apparently, you can do.
Apparently, I can demand a refund from Microsoft, but I'm not a petty jackass. So
here's what it is: new story missions. It's hard to say how extensive that is or not. We don't know.
I mean, I'll tell you this right now.
No one really cares about.
No. What happens if these story missions are literally? You go into a place, you hack a thing, the ghost tells you to defend it, and waves of enemies.
I feel like this stuff's been being worked on before the game came out. I feel like it's going to be
if it's
more
that,
the same. Isn't wow. that bad? But, so that, one new strike, one new raid, three new multiplayer maps, and then some new, like, equipment.
Yeah.
That seems like the bare minimum of what they could have done to call it an expansion. Would you agree?
Yes. This is the kind of stuff that, frankly, given the volume of it, especially for, like, gear, either free or a lot cheaper than $20. Think about it. It's a third of the game. I know this is not always a great comparison for pricing DLC, but it's the price of a third of the game for a minuscule fraction of the content.
It's so tiny. I mean, what does a World of Warcraft expansion cost? $40?
$40 or $50, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, and when you compare, like, and again, everyone's like, well, you can't compare it to WoW, and you can't compare it to, like, a map pack for Call of Duty. Like, well, but what am I supposed to compare this to? Because it seems bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like, because, you know, for people who don't know, the end game of, my big problem is only one strike. Because the end game of Destiny is replaying strikes and story missions. Over and over. I've already played pretty much every strike 5 times now. So I was like, okay, let's get 3 more strikes to add to this playlist to really... No, there's one.
One.
And it's almost more infuriating that the PlayStation 6 consoles get another one.
No.
Like, at this point, I got it at launch. Okay, yeah, fine, whatever. You guys have a thing with Sony. When people are already starving for content, you morally cannot make this stuff system exclusive anymore.
I knew it was going to be exclusive. I understood that. My issue is, on the whole, whenever there's been exclusive content, Battlefield, Call of Duty, whatever, it's usually like a month, right?
They say like a year.
Fall of 2015.
Give me
if
a
you
break.
Really think I'm going to be playing this game of
oh,
fall of,
oh, God.
Oh, that sort of new strike is coming out.
Yeah.
Great.
But
let me go fire up Destiny.
Because, well, do we know when the next one's coming out? The third?
Sometime early next year.
Early. So let's say 3-4 months between these things. So 4 times a year, we will get one new strike.
Mm-hmm. Like, then it was like, oh, but the raids are cool. Yeah, but like, I don't, like, I mean, yeah, there are people who grind the raid 3 times a week, whatever. I did the Vault of Glass once. It was cool. Don't get me wrong. Really enjoyed it. I have no desire to do it again. I really don't.
Yeah, because
it's just such a time investment. It's such an effort to plan to get people together. Plus, the issue we find ourselves in now is two of our friends who are kind of cheapskates. I can say that because I listen to this show. Oh, does Perry listen? Yeah, Perry knows he's cheap.
I think he's listened once.
They're not going to get this. They're not going to pay $20. Perry wants to trade the game in now.
I try to talk him down. I was like, oh, the expansion's coming out in December. Now that I know what's in the expansion, I'm like, I don't know.
So we're going to at least probably lose 2 people we play with. So, great.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is that this month we have the Master Chief Collection. There's Call of Duty.
Yeah, because a lot of people have said, you know, like, oh, people complain about it, but, like, I keep playing this game. I can't stop playing it, so why is everyone mad? Like, well, it's kind of been the only thing out so far. Like, yeah, like, Shadow of Mordor came out, but it's kind of an entirely different thing.
I guess
Call of Duty comes out Tuesday.
The big problem is that their 10-year plan might not last me 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
This already does not seem like... I'll tell you what, when this game was coming out, I very naively thought that they would add things like strikes, new gear, like, for free every couple of months, and then the expansions would literally be, like, very big expansions.
Like the next chapter in the story.
Yeah, like a new planet, like a new class.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what I thought an expansion would be, not like... A one new strike and a new raid. That's basically it. Because maps, who gives a shit? Honestly, multiplayer maps, that's one thing I type when that's all the game is. Right here, whatever. That's what the content basically comes down to. Don't tell me, oh, there's new gear. Do you think World of Warcraft, when they make a new expansion, are like, oh, by the way, big bullet point, new gear? No, everyone knows there's going to be new gear.
Well, plus, I don't know if you saw the leaked chart of the gear. It's literally like there's like one new of every gun and one new of every armor slot for every class.
That's the problem.
So it's not like, oh, there's all this gear for me to discover. No, I got to work towards this one helmet, this one chest piece, this one set of boots. That's the one everyone's going to have.
Yeah, it was kind of exciting at first when I was organically coming across new gear. Now it's like, I know the names of pretty much every legendary piece of equipment.
Yeah, you know what you're going
like,
for.
I've gotten duplicates of legendary.
I don't know why they didn't put just a randomization system for gear into this game.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like,
well,
again,
I guess I kind of get it.
I like, you know, people complain like, oh, you never get purples. And they're like, well, they can't just hand this stuff out. I'm like, well, no, they can't because there's only like 10 of them. If there was some more variety and if there was like a little more lateral upgrading, like, oh, well, this one is just as powerful, but it works in this different way, and I just got it, so maybe I'll switch to it. Maybe I won't. I don't know, but it's cool that I got it. Like, that doesn't exist in the game.
I feel like burnout, man.
That's just what it is. I feel like between the time we've played, which, again, a lot of time. I got my money's worth from the game. But the time we've put into it, and the deluge of games coming out in November, kind of done.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm... this expansion is just not... I don't know
if I can
come back for
it. I'm getting it, so I'll let you know how it
I
is.
Guess.
Maybe these story missions will be incredible.
But here's my thing. Is our opinion of this, is are we unusual, or do you think they're in trouble? Do you think that... Do you think like, that the player... Do you think...
I unfortunately, we'll never get the numbers, but I'd be curious to see the sell-through
do you think
of DLC.
Even 50% of the people who got the game are getting this expansion?
No, because... And that's the other thing, too. I mean, it seems... That again, it's kind of the common problem in MMOs. This content's for max level people.
Yeah, and but at least in Destiny, it's not like ridiculously hard to get to max level.
It kind of is. You have to run the raid a whole bunch of times.
Oh, you mean like max? You mean level 30?
Level 30.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm assuming that just by doing the story, you'll probably get light level high stuff easily. I don't know though, because the light level is only going up two.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mess, and you know you were saying before, it's like, well, it's because the game is so big and pretty that they can't release a lot of content at the same time. You know, a Skyrim expansion had a lot more content than this, and that's a highly detailed game. So I don't know. Maybe this business model is just a bad idea to begin with, but I don't know. Destiny is going to be... It's going to be interesting to read the history book on Destiny 3 years from now.
Yeah.
And what we all thought about it and what it accomplished or failed at.
Even like when you read interviews with Bungie where they say, like, what do you say about the player complaints? They're like, oh, we read them, but then we see those people play the game for 100 hours, so they must like something. Like, no.
And you know, again, that's kind of another thing with the whole MMO comparison. 100 hours is great for a shooter. For an MMO, that's nothing, almost, you know? Because that's kind of what they kept saying. That's what an MMO is. An MMO is, I don't want to say a lifestyle, but it is like...
It could be your only game.
It could be your... Yeah.
For a long time.
It could be a thing you play constantly. I don't know if Destiny... And Destiny's trying to be that, and it's clearly been designed to be that. I don't know if it can do it. But, I don't know. We'll see. What else?
What else we say we're going to talk about?
I don't know.
Drive Club PS Plus is officially postponed.
That whole thing's been a disaster, apparently.
Yoshida's apologized.
Yeah, that's probably nice.
I was pointing this out on the Too Old for This group. Aside from Little Big Planet 3... This was their only exclusive for the holiday.
Sony does not have many... I'll tell you, this holiday, and this kind of leads to the next thing, because they're dropping the price of all Xbox One bundles, $50, just for the holiday, which is unusual. So the Xbox One's going to be, if you get it without the Kinect, $50 cheaper than the PlayStation 4, and that's with bundles. And like I said, it has better exclusives this holiday season, so it's... It's hard to see why it wouldn't sell better now, unless... That old stigma is still sticking around. I feel like that's mostly washed off, but yeah, it seems kind of lopsided. I mean, just exclusive wise, because you got Sunset Overdrive, which apparently is good. I was kind of skeptical of it.
You got Forza Horizon 2. Especially when you hold up the Drive Club.
Yeah, that Master Chief Collection. That's, you know,
people are getting excited. I'm stoked. I can't wait to play that.
You know, even Wii U, you got Bayonetta 2 and Smash Brothers,
which gave Nintendo profitability. Amazing what happens when you release a game people really want.
Yeah, right. But yeah, it seems like somebody just dropped the ball in their scheduling. And you know, really weird. Yeah, well, you know, like, next year you got, like, Uncharted and...
Order 1866.
And Bloodborne and things. But yeah, it just seems like this year is kind of... And normally, like, that year right afterwards, there's one big game. Like Uncharted 1 was, like, the next fall-ish, Christmas, right? Yeah. So, see, it's a little weird that they don't have anything left. You know, you can say Little Big Planet 3. No one really... Little Big Planet 3 has always been kind of cute to me. I've always admired it more than I've enjoyed it.
Right, it's not gonna be a system seller.
No.
Halo? System seller.
Yeah. Plus, I think it's coming out on PlayStation 3 also, anyways. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Alright. I mean, you can argue that a lot of people are, you know, the biggest games are still multi-platform anyways. Your Assassin's Creed, your Call of Duty.
Because you know how they're doing the completely free digital upgrade for Call of Duty?
Yeah.
I wonder if that secretly helps Microsoft.
How so?
Well, I mean...
Well, the last gen, a lot of people play those
on 360. So, if they get the 360 version when they're ready to upgrade, doesn't it kind of naturally lend to...
Well, the numbers have been showing us is that a lot of people have already upgraded.
Yeah, that's why a lot of those
Call of Duty players already have. And that's... If you look at all the financial reports on Ubisoft, EA, Nintendo even, they're all making more money than they expected. And a lot of that is because... Well, for Nintendo, it's a little different because it's just because they finally released some good games.
Yeah.
But for EA and Ubisoft, it's because people are adopting these new consoles and buying Watch Dogs and stuff way faster than people thought they would. But the flip side of that, people have been saying old last-gen sales have been really sluggish. Those aren't continuing like they did. And I think starting very soon, you're going to stop seeing the 360 and PlayStation 3 gimped version of all these games.
What was the one game had?
Just recently.
Dying Light?
Yeah, Dying Light. They just canceled it. And they say because they couldn't handle it. It's because they know there's no money in it now.
Yeah, there isn't, which I'm thrilled about. I want my next-gen stuff.
I mean, I'll tell you what. I guarantee you Ubisoft wishes they did not go ahead with Assassin's Creed Rogue. I think that.
Oh, I guarantee you it's coming to the one in PS4 in March. That's
a huge waste of resources. I guarantee you. And I know why they thought it was a good idea. But it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I'll tell you what. Again, Borderlands pre-sequel. That thing is going to be... It's going to be a little...
I promise you. By March...
We'll see.
It'll be on the one in PS4.
All right. So the other small thing is that some LucasArts games are showing up on Good Old Games, which is cool. You know, it's funny. A lot of people are excited about X-Wing and TIE Fighter, which wasn't really our jam when we were younger. We didn't really play them.
I mean, we were... I was 10 when TIE Fighter came out.
I wasn't into
it. A little over my head.
I don't know. I played a lot, but we love LucasArts Adventure games, and the two that are on there now, or three.
Two. Well, it's Secret Monkey Island Special Edition.
Right. And then,
which is already out, like, all over, but Sam and Max. Like, ye old Sam and Max.
Which I still think is the funniest game I've ever played.
Oh, easy, easy.
Might not be the best of the LucasArts Adventure games all around. Oh, it isn't, because you have Grim Fandango and even the Monkey Islands,
But the writing and the humor in that game is so funny. Phenomenal.
Especially when I was young and I was really into like that kind of overly silly, offbeat humor. That game's hilarious. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then they also put up KOTOR, which again, that's all over the place. But yeah, then the X-Wing and TIE Fighter games.
Because good old games are usually very well known for like running on modern systems, right?
Yeah, that's their whole trick. Well, like...
Because I got Knights of the Old Republic for Steam like 4 years ago. It just never worked.
Oh, really?
No, I wasn't Steam. I got like... a PC box version that came with, like, a collection of things.
Oh, right.
And it just never worked.
Well, the Steam version's fine, but...
I assume, yeah.
I play on my iPad. That's right. But it's cool. When you get X-Wing or TIE Fighter, you get the original DOS version, and it's actually... They just use DOSBox.
Yeah.
They just pre-configure it for you.
Okay.
And then you also get... They did re-releases of those games running off the X-Wing versus TIE Fighter engine.
Yeah, so...
And that was, like, the multiplayer sequel to those games that came out. So, like, slightly more advanced graphics. I have two versions of this game. Which one do I play? The purists all tell you to play the DOS versions because they use the iMuse system from the old adventure games.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas the newer ones just use Redbook audio off the CD.
Hmm.
So... Everyone said do that. Plus, the DOS versions support a mouse and keyboard, and the newer ones don't in my sweet Flight 6 in Ohio, which I need to get this weekend. So, yeah, we could transition now into our week of gaming. So, I got TIE Fighter.
Is TIE Fighter supposed to be the better one?
Yeah.
Is it because people like the story of it? Is that
story,
right?
Story, graphics were improved.
So, it came out after X-Wing.
Yes. Like, for example, you have your HUD and your cockpit. Mm-hmm. When you target a fighter in TIE Fighter, you see the 3D model. It was just a static image in X-Wing.
Okay.
And it's actually useful because you can see how they're oriented to you.
Yeah.
So like I said, I'm playing with a mouse and keyboard, which works remarkably well. And it's like, it just has this great retro feel to it. Like, the menu screens, it's like, you kind of like remember even Wing Commander.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You had that kind of overheadish view of like the hangar.
Yeah.
You clicked on all the bay doors. But it also has this weird little tint of a LucasArts adventure game to it.
Yeah.
Because it like, you know, when you first get there, there's like the sign-in desk and there's the guy like, pilot, register your name. And he talks like a LucasArts adventure game character would.
Something about those mid to like kind of late 90s
PC games. Yeah, exactly.
It was a very specific feel.
And the other thing I like about the game is, I've only played through two missions so far, but the mission design, it's not like a Descent Free Space, where it's literally just fly in this area and take out these guys.
Right.
You're inspecting craft, and you're trying to disable things, and like, there's just a lot of variety to it. I could understand how in 1994, people had to play this game, and were like, what?
Well, when you
fuck?
Think about, like, what other games are coming out in 1994, like Super Metroid, I think,
yeah.
You know? Which, again, it's a great game, but it's just kind of different.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I got Bayonetta 2 for the Wii U.
How do you find it?
I like it a lot. You know, I played Bayonetta 1. I didn't beat it. I don't know why. I think it's one of the things I got distracted. But so, I wasn't probably going to get Bayonetta 2, but then the reviews for it were so good. Like, oh, I'll get this. And, you know, what I like about it is it's kind of... It's very flashy,
mm-hmm.
And I like flashy. That's why I like Uncharted 2. You know, going back to Destiny, it's kind of one of the things about it. Even with all of Bungie's games, even with Halo, they're not set-piece-oriented at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Halo has some set pieces. Destiny has no set pieces whatsoever. But, you know, in Bayonetta, it's not that it's much like Uncharted, but there's moments where intense, cool things are happening, especially some of the enemies you fight are huge, but you don't get lost in it. Like, you always know where you are. You always know.
That's important. I feel like these kind of action games live and die by their camera, so.
Right. And, you know, it's cool because so many action games now are basically the Batman model, and this is more of an old school.
Kind of Devil May Cry.
Devil May Cry, God of War. Countering is still important, but it's very different. It's not really countering, it's just you have to dodge the attack before it hits you. There's no, like, it's always
Harry.
About, yeah, it doesn't, like, literally push the, like, show you, like, a Y button above your head when you're supposed mm-hmm. to do it. You don't parry, yeah, but you just, like, dodge, and then you can kind of, the person's left open. It's a bit more organic. It's fine. You know, it's very stylized. It's very, you know, it's very kind of confident is a good way of putting it, right? You know, mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, there's a close-up of her butt. But Bayonetta is kind of a cool character, you know? She's kind of cool, and she's kind of not a... afraid of it, I guess, you know?
Mm, sure.
There's a bit of a dauntingness to it, but it comes off better. But, yeah, it's a super fun, super sweet. It looks good, too, you know? That's one thing where, like, it's almost helping the Wii U that a lot of these games on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 aren't, like, 1080p, 60 frames per second. Because besides for, like, the fight fidelity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, the texture, you know, the polygons are better, the character models are better. Like, a Wii U game doesn't necessarily look that much worse.
Right. Well, than an Xbox, I mean, look at Mario Kart.
Mario Kart looks fantastic. And, you know, and what it is, like, what they do is usually, like, some, like, the character models always look in Bayonetta 2, but it's like, oh, there's, like, a fountain over there, and that kind of doesn't look that good.
Right.
But, like, whatever, you know?
Right.
So, super fun. If you like action games, if you like that platinum style, which I'm not usually a huge fan of, but Bayonetta 2 works for me.
Cool.
The one thing... Like, half the cutscenes are, like, fully, like, rendered cutscenes. Other time, it's, like, slideshow cutscenes that are voiced over. And you can kind of tell, like, oh, so this is... I can't remember if Bayonetta 1 did it or not. It might have. But it's kind of like, oh, this is how they save some money.
Well, you got Bayonetta 1 with us,
it
right?
Comes with it, yeah. So I can just kind of play that after I do.
They're on, like, two different discs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like, brought me one. I could have bought it.
Yeah. I can tell you right now that Bayonetta is not your jam.
Yeah, I know.
But besides that, just more...
Well, you know what is my jam?
What?
Titanfall.
Oh, you got back. Oh, because they released that.
The Horde mode.
Oh, see, again, go back. They just released Horde mode for free, and it's like.
It's fantastic!
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So I've only played. I played one game with Chris, but mostly I've just been playing with pickup groups. So if you don't know what it is, it's 4-player cooperative Horde mode. You have, like, a harvester you have to defend, and there will be any number, like, 5 to 6 waves is what I found. Every map is compatible with this mode. And between rounds, they'll give you another turret you can drop. All kind of standard stuff. But they've introduced all these new enemy types to the game. So you have, you know, grunts and specters coming at you. Inspectors can actually rodeo you. So you can't
That's
just,
cool.
like, run at them and step
right.
on them anymore. And they also added suicide specters. So they're, like, specters that are literally on fire and just running
right.
at the harvester. So there's those. Then there's AI titans who come. And then three different kinds of titans in addition to those. There's nuke titans... who are just ogre titans that just try to walk up to the harvester and just explode themselves.
Oh. Huh.
So if they get close, I'm always yelling the headset. Of course, no one listens to me. But, like, there's the nuke titan, and this idiot's shooting it. I'm like, don't shoot it! Punch it! You need to put... Because if you punch it, you can push it away. Right. So there's those. There's mortar titans, and they'll set up on the perimeter of the map, and they have mortar launchers.
Oh, so
you have to, like, go out and find them. And then there's arc titans, which are just surrounded in electricity, so you can't get close to them. And those are Shriders.
That's cool.
It's just, as a free update, I mean, it's practically a new game.
Yeah.
It's, you know, using existing mechanics to just completely remix it. It's super fun.
That's cool.
Super great value. I
need to try that.
There was one. Real quick. I got Ollie Ollie. Have you heard of this?
Yeah.
The skateboarding game?
Yeah.
It's probably the newest Humble Bundle I got.
Okay.
It's super fun.
Yeah.
It reminds me of playing Tony Hawk for the first time in a weird way, except it's 2D.
That's what's kind of got me interested in Sunset Overdrive, is people keep comparing it to Tony Hawk
because of all the grinding and everything. Yeah, that game's getting harder and harder to resist.
Yeah.
But anyway, the last big thing I guess I'll talk about is, of course, Evolve.
Oh, yeah.
Which is awesome.
Which I played a while back at E3.
And I can see why you liked it. So,
Alpha, yeah.
It's cool. You fire it up. Like, they let you kind of choose your order of preference for all the different classes.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I'm sure everyone puts the monster as number one.
Right. Who doesn't want to be the monster?
So, the first game I got into as the medic, and there really is no tutorial. I don't know if there will be in the full game, but I'm like, all right, what the hell's going on? I guess I need to figure all this out.
The medic's very important because you're the only one who can revive people. I think.
No. Anyone can revive.
But you can do it instantly or something?
No, the medic can heal. The medic has a healing burst. But the important thing the medic has... Well, actually, two things. The medic has a trank gun, which when you hit the monster with it, not only slows it down, but highlights it.
Yeah.
So everyone can see it. Then you have a sniper rifle. When you snipe the monster, where you hit it becomes a weak point that everyone else can shoot.
Right.
I played the medic, I played the assault. So the assault has, like, a machine gun, like a lightning chain gun that's better at close range but does more damage, a personal shield, and mines. Everyone has, like, a kind of jump jet sort of thing. And there's like, a way of climbing walls that I haven't quite figured out yet. It involves using your jump jet in some strange way. The thing with this game is I played with pickup groups. It worked relatively fine.
Did you beat the monster?
Yeah, we did. The guy in the post-game lobby admitted to... Again, it was his first time playing. He had no idea what he was doing. He got to stage 3.
Nah.
We took him out. You're going to want to play this with friends. Because, like, for example, the support guy has an orbital drop. The trapper has a tether they could stick the monster to. And then you have the trank gun with the medic. I mean, do the math.
Right.
You coordinate. Like, okay, I tranked it. Okay, I tethered it. Great, I'm going to drop. Like, stuff like that is what's super cool about it. And then I finally got into the game where I got to be the monster. Holy shit, is that fun.
What's the monster in the...
Goliath. The first one they showed.
Okay.
The fire-breathing and the rock-throwing.
See, when I played it, it was that flying one.
The Cthulhu-looking thing?
Yeah. That's what I was.
So it's just so... It's such a cool dynamic, because when you start the match at stage 1, you're so vulnerable. Like, you just have to create distance, try not to, like, you know, leave marks, like, you know, you scare flocks of birds and that's how they find you. You know, be really careful of that and just hunt and eat and evolve. So I got to stage 2. The group got to me. They laid the trap dome over me, which creates like a little arena. And I actually, the way I got away is I killed the trapper. And then the dome disappeared. And then so they had to go revive the trapper and I made my break for it. So like, it's kind of cool because at stage 2, you're kind of even. Then I got to stage 3. They put that trap shield up and I was like, you guys can't leave either. And just laid waste to them. It was so fun. It's just, it's such a great game because it really gets so many of these things we've talked about in gaming for so long. The asymmetrical multiplayer, the emergent gameplay, because these are just big open maps.
It feels different, right?
It does. It feels totally different.
It feels fresh.
It reminds me, honestly, I haven't played a game that felt this kind of fresh, well, not counting Shadow and Mortar, I guess, really since Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, it is kind of, it is kind of like a Left 4 Dead competitive mode.
Yeah.
Which is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I am super into it. I'll be playing a bunch for this weekend.
Why don't we look at some releases, and we gotta watch our Cavs.
Oh man. How do I get to the releases on GameStop? GameSpot?
I thought you said you got this. Go to news.
News.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
Oh, go to games, I mean.
Oh, go to games. Everything's bad.
It's all bad.
Everything's bad. What's it doing?
Sunset Overdrive came out.
Yes.
I know that.
Oh my god.
a top pull down. There they are.
There we go.
What do we got? You have to kind of...
Not much.
You're not good at this like I am.
So, Lords of the Fallen, which is kind of like a Dragon or a Dark Souls kind of thing, I
guess?
Well,
I think it's the people who made... Remember when I reviewed that game for EGM was Lord of Arcana?
Oh, it was kind of a Monster Hunter knockoff?
Yeah, what is this?
This is like a Dark Souls thing, I guess.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe this isn't what I'm thinking. Oh, okay. I don't know.
It's getting, like, okay reviews.
Yeah, so it's an Overdrive, which was cool. Custom Quest 2, which no one seems to care that much about, huh?
Yeah.
I never played the first one,
honestly. There's a new Power Rangers game for the 3DS?
Awesome.
WWE?
Well, W2K15 came out for the old systems, and the old system version is not very good. It doesn't have a lot of the... It doesn't have, like, new face scanning technology. It doesn't have some of the modes and stuff, so whatever.
NBA Live 15. Surprise, it's bad.
What? I think at some point they'd find a way to make that good, but, you know.
No. Let's see. Big Hero 6 game for 3DS. Mm. A new Turtles game for the PS3 and Xbox 360.
Based off the cartoon. I actually watched that new Turtles movie.
The one called TMNT?
Yeah. No, the Michael Bay one.
Oh, God. I forgot that was even a thing.
What are you talking about?
You guys text me that for some reason. I completely forgot.
How did you forget that happened?
I don't know.
The TMNT that came out like 10 years ago.
That's what I thought you watched.
No. How did you just forget?
That's really funny.
The movie
just
came out.
I know. That's
Anyways,
really funny.
Anyways, it was surprisingly not terrible.
That's good.
It was fine. Okay,
I think that's pretty much everything.
All right, then. Well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. You can go to the Squadron of Shame boards. We'll post about this show there. You can comment there, talk about anything you want. You can go to the iTunes Music Store. You can leave us a review. We always appreciate that. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Podcast.
Yeah, I know, right, man. Go, Cavs.
Bye.